This evening we're going to be turning to Romans chapter 5, so if you can turn there so long, Romans chapter 5. Now, I am in between series and just really praying through and getting enough resources for the next series we're going to start. So just asking God, you know, what do I preach on for this Sunday? And one I've preached on in the evenings quite often is speaking on joy, finding joy in our sufferings. But I really wanted to focus on Romans chapter 5. Now, we often will go through sufferings. In fact, I think I'm going to stop preaching about sufferings because often you are put to practice what you're about to preach on Sunday night. I've had two sick kids at home now. We broke down on the highway. We got something severe on my car and I was like, ah, Lord, what's going on? And so you find that you go through these trials that come. And so was this week. And so we look at joy. How do we find joy when things just seem to be going wrong? When we seem to can't be able to get through things. When it seems like everyone around us is happy. They've got it going. They've got it together. But yet it just seems like a trial after trial, suffering after suffering. How do we get through this? And I believe Paul gives us quite a bit of advice. In fact, Paul was a person I believe that really found joy. You read Philippians. We studied Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. That's Paul in prison saying that under house arrest. Rejoice. He learned the art of this. He learned how to do this. And Paul really speaks that out. And I believe here are some key things that we find. What is the difference between joy and happiness? Well, I've given many definitions, but I thought I'd use this illustration. Now, being a pastor, you get to journey with people through all stages of life and through all struggles in life. One of the great joys is seeing some guys get engaged. Don't you see Facebook goes alive? Those photos? That moment when she went on her knee and, I mean, he went on his knee and proposed, that happiness that comes about. Definite definition of happiness, wouldn't you agree? Okay. But as a pastor, I get to do a thing called marriage counseling. And one of the first sessions we do is we talk about how's your wedding prep going? And often the things that are said has got nothing to do with happiness. Absolute struggle in planning a wedding. Trying to combine two families' ideas with a future husband learning what it means just to say, yes, I like the idea, or understand what type of flowers and the difference between flowers and colors, that is not just pink, it's this salmon pink or whatever. And combining this, it is a miserable moment. It's not easy. For those who are going to get married, trust me, your marriage prep is not going to be easy. It sometimes can be defined as a battlefield. And you see that struggle. But what happened? The happiness faded. It was there the moment the proposal happened and the ring was seen. It was all that joy and it misses. But joy comes in that marriage prep. Why? The couple may not be happy about the plans, but they are joyful in the hope to what is to come. They are going to get married. And there's that excitement, that anticipation of what is going to happen. Though the happiness is not quite there. Do you see the difference in that? Is that as Christians, very seldomly will you actually see the word in the Bible, happiness. Sometimes it's been translated as blessed. Okay. But the scriptures will talk about joy. Joy is not based in circumstance. It is based in God and who He is. That's where it's based. And our future hope. That's what we look to. So let's take it from Romans 5. And I wanted to really zone in a little bit further from verse 3. But we're going to take it from verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through Him we have also obtained access by faith into grace which we stand. We must rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance. Sorry, I'm reading from the ESV. Okay, the NIV will talk about perseverance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For the one we will secretly die for a righteous person, through perhaps a good person would dare to even die. But God shows us his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For while we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. More than that, we shall also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I want to highlight 4 points, and we start to see from verse 5. But before we do that, I just wanted to highlight a couple of things here. We see in verse 1 and verse 2. It talks about now that we have peace with God. A peace because of what Jesus Christ had done. We now, once were Christ's enemies with God, because of our sin, we now, because of him and believing in him, we have peace with God. This is an incredible thing. This is highlighting our past. All our past now has been forgiven. We are at peace with what has taken place. We can be at peace with what we've messed up. It's not held to account anymore. God has washed it clean. It's absolutely clean when we are at peace with God, with what has happened before. And with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through him we have obtained access by faith. This access means to be able to step into the holies of holies. That the curtain has been torn. That we can come into the presence of God, not just as our past been dealt with, but with our presence, we can come to Christ. We can come to God and be able to be presented before him. We are able to bring our requests to him. We are able to speak to him. We are able to have a relationship with him. But Paul goes on a little bit. Access by faith into the grace which we now stand. We rejoice in what? In hope of the glory of God. Joy and hope cling together. Why? Because our joy is in the future, in the hope we have through Christ. We cling to him. It's anchored. It's linked together. So Paul goes on, and this almost seems as a separation of text as it shifts a little bit of a focus. But he's now bringing a practical application. When it regards to our present and our future, how does this work out? Verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. So we rejoice in our hope, and we're able to rejoice in our hope because, what? Our sufferings. So our first point here is joy can be found in our sufferings. Joy can be found in our sufferings. Now that sounds absolutely weird. Okay. How do we find joy in sufferings? My math class didn't bring about joy. All right, for the teacher. But what happens, all right, is it uses the word here, Paul highlights, it doesn't say we rejoice about our sufferings. It doesn't say we rejoice because of our sufferings. He says we rejoice in our sufferings. The highlight here is not that we're rejoicing, oh look, I get to go to home affairs again. Yes, I rejoice in the Lord. Isn't he good that we have to renew our license every 5 years? Yes, I love that. Or we rejoice in the fact that we're going through hardship or illness or things that are going on. He's not saying that. I'm not rejoicing about that, but in that. That's what he's saying. So how do we find joy in our sufferings? Well, one is we almost need to expect it. See, there's a teaching that goes out that Christians shouldn't suffer. Anyone who says that in the church has not read the New Testament. has not studied what happened to the disciples. We should expect suffering. In fact, 1 Peter 4 verse 12 says this, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that might come to test you. Although something strange was happening to you. We're to expect it. So as Christians, when we're going through the suffering, when it takes place, it shouldn't catch us by surprise. But the fact that God uses it. Sometimes, and I never really speak about the devil, but sometimes the devil sees us as a threat. Because God is using you. And there's times of trial. It's not always the case. And I don't want to give him the credit in all things. But we're to expect it. It will happen. We're to rejoice in it. James 1, in the most famous passage, and I thank John T for reading this earlier. James highlights this and it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work. So we see through our suffering, there's this incredible opportunity that God has to reveal so much and to define and shape our faith. So what do we rejoice? We rejoice in the fact that we can cling to God. We rejoice that our hope is not here in the here and now, but in the future with Him who knows all. That's what we rejoice in. We rejoice the fact that God is using it. And though we don't know and understand why we go through the trial that we face, though we don't know the circumstances, that God can use it for His glory. God is able to. As a pastor journeying with people, sometimes being at the sickbed, I still remember, and I've used this example for a few times, but one of my first years in youth ministry, I got the phone call that one of the deacons of the church had committed suicide. And I rushed to the home and he had two kids. And I remember just holding them in my arms, both sides, and weeping with them. And feeling as a pastor is absolutely useless. And in that situation, there were so many questions of why. And we start to get to the place of, God, why do you allow this to happen? God, what is going on here? And many who go through suffering ask those questions. They sometimes get disappointed, feeling that God hasn't answered. Well, why would God allow this to happen or take place? But you know what? We may not know the why sometimes, but we can sometimes see the glory. God used that. So my 20th year, almost going on to my 20th year of ministry. And that was one of my first years. And seeing those two youngsters grow. Natalie now is in the US and she is doing an incredible work for the Lord in a non-profit organization. And I'm just seeing how she has taken those who are hurt, those who have gone through such incredible pain, and she's used her hurt just to really build up. Though we never know the answer why, we can sometimes see God's glory. So we rejoice in our sufferings because of the hope we have in it. We need to know that sometimes suffering benefits us. Not only does it produce faith in us, shape us, molds us, but it's an incredible thing of time of being able to show God's glory in it. Hebrews 12 verse 11 says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it, developed by it. So joy can be found in our sufferings. Joy also helps us to endure. Joy helps us to endure. It says, not only that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Perseverance in the NIV. It produces, this word produce means to bring out. It's something that's got to bubble. It's something that's got to take place. So as we go through suffering, we have this endurance. Now, this endurance may seem terrible. In fact, they call one of the races an endurance race. I don't think that's the greatest way to advertise that race. Okay, particularly for those who don't run anymore. All right? But the endurance race here isn't a sprint, a quick, and I'm not mocking those who do sprints. I could never do it. And the energy exerted in that and the speed that has to be happening. But when it's long distance, it's this pacing and it's this timing and it's working out. And it's more of a mind game. Because as you're running, as you're at that place, you're wanting to give up. Your body is fighting with your mind and it's saying, I can't do this. And there's this pain and this agony that's there that takes place. So as we go through sufferings, Paul doesn't jump to it brings joy. It brings endurance. Doesn't bring a sprint. See, sometimes we get caught up as Christians to think, okay, the suffering should be short and it should be limited and it should be, I'm there, I hear that. But God has got something bigger in plan, and sometimes it is a long journey that's there. And as we go through this journey and we see the joy in our sufferings as we follow this theme of joy and leading to hope, it brings that endurance. We can endure and we can go through this and we can wrestle with the mind game of wanting to give up because of the hope, the joy, and God has got something in plan. God can use us. Something in mind with our future with Him. That's what we can cling to. Now there's many times in ministry where I have wanted to resign and give up. It's not always the easiest time. It's not just working on Sundays, believe it or not. And there's been many times when I first started here, Mike gave me the advice and he said this. Pastor Mike said, I will not accept your resignation on a Monday. And there's many times where I've looked at the classifieds on a Monday, going, Lord, let's have a look. Can't I be fixing something that if it doesn't work, I can at least break it or something? I don't know. Yeah. And you want to give up. And I'm sure you're there. Saying, God, this is so tough and this is so hard. This is so difficult. I can't do this. And the mind and the body, like that race, is wrestling out. And it's fighting within. And you have that. But I want to give this hope. Joy helps us to endure. And the word I often think of this is to remain. Not to quit, not to give up, to remain. John 15 verse 9, Jesus says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. King James, abide in me. And if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as you have kept my Father's commands. I remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How do we endure? When we don't understand and we're saying, God, I want to give up. This is enough. I can't go through this anymore. Stay faithful. Stay the course. Endure. Keep His commands. Remain in Him. It is easy to give up, but there's incredible joy when we're through. We see the heroes of faith going through incredible endurance. And one of the heroes of faith that I believe should have given up so many times is Joseph. God, you promised this. There was something that you said would happen, but the journey has gone very different to how I'm expecting. Times in prison, times of being accused, so many things, time being sold in slavery, yet but God had something in plan. And what did we see Joseph do? He remained faithful in this. Joy helps us to endure. We remain faithful because we're anchored in who He is, clinging to His joy. because His joy makes us complete. Thirdly, joy helps reveal true character. Joy helps reveal true character. We see this progression going, and we rejoice in our sufferings. The suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. So we see it moves on. As we endure, as we go through that suffering, as we are wrestling with our mind and our body, just saying, give up, give in, true character is starting to be revealed. I find that we grow as Christians, not in the happy moments, not in the joyful mountain peak times, not in the times that we've experienced God at work, at holiday club, and at summer camp, but it's in the valley that we grow the most. It reveals true character. See, people are watching you. As Christians, when you stand out at school, when you stand out at workplace and at university, guys are watching you. And when are they watching you the most? When you're going through a hard time. When you're not all happy and hey. They're watching to see how you endure, what you do. They're looking to see your true character coming out. And as we persevere, as we don't give in, as we endure these things, so it starts to shape our character. It starts to mold us and it starts to bring out this faith in us. It helps us to wrestle with sin. It helps us to wrestle with the things that we're going through that may be pulling us away or robbing our joy. It helps us to deal with that. It helps us to develop holiness, purity. Just as gold has to be refined, so through the suffering, through this endurance, we start to get refined in this. And the true character starts to come out. God uses suffering to do that in us. There's a story of a butterfly. They went into the cocoon and somebody was watching this butterfly about to break out of the cocoon and watching how it was struggling getting out of this cocoon. And so what they did is they took a pair of scissors and cut the cocoon. Okay. And out came the butterfly, but the wings were all riveled and shrunk and wrinkled and that. And this butterfly was not able to fly. Because it actually needed that wrestle in the cocoon to develop its character. Don't fear in suffering. Don't fear in hardships. Because when we cling to Him, knowing that God is our joy, that He is bringing out something in us that will be beautiful for His glory. Cling to that. Joy helps to reveal true character. And then lastly, joy is anchored in hope. Joy is anchored in hope. It goes on to say this, and character produces hope. And that hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Don't you love that? That as we go through this process, character, as we cling, as we endure, and as our character gets refined, we go back to hope. And that hope is what's connected with that joy. And what does this hope bring about? Well, this hope doesn't put us to shame, as it says in the ESV. It doesn't put us to shame. It means that God is doing something and God is faithful and God is at a good work in your life. God is doing the right thing for you, though you may not see it. But we endure through the suffering and we place our hope and our joy in Him because God is completing His work in you. Goes on to say, because God's love has been poured. And you love this image. Poured. I just picture this flowing, just in abundance coming. He poured His love out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We're able to do this. We're able to go through this. We're able to have a joy in God. We are able to be anchored in heaven and go through this moment, go through the suffering because of Him. And His great love. What is this great love? Well, we see that through the cross. Jesus, who endured much suffering, who could have given up at any moment, chose to die on the cross for you and me. Such incredible love for us is that He pours this love into us. I know what you're going through. This is what He's saying. I know what you're going through. Not caught Him by surprise, but experience my love through this. Through the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us to what? To teach us, to guide us, to lead us, to help us journey through this, to get through this suffering. James in 1 verse 2 goes on and talks about faith produces perseverance. And let that perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then it seems like this pause and this break, but I believe it is linked. And if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It's linked. As you go through the suffering, as you face this, as you're not able to do this, what? Ask God. Ask God for wisdom. Not ask God how to get you through out of this, but to give you wisdom how to develop your character in this. He is able to. We're able to cling to God. He's given us His Holy Spirit who can work in us and through us and guide us and strengthen us up to get through that. That should be our joy. Is that God knows and we are loved by Him. Our joy in the fact of what He has done for us. C.S. Lewis says this, "Do not let your happiness depend on something you may lose, only upon the Beloved who has never passed away." Our joy is in Him. Our joy is in Him because of the hope and who He is. He is eternal forever. The Alpha and the Omega. He is faithful. Unlike instant happiness that moves away and is circumstantial, joy is anchored in Him. In our hope in Him. So where are you at tonight? What are you struggling with? Cling to Him. Find your joy back in Him. You may need to go and say, God, you know what? I've almost given up. I've been running this race and it seems so long and the struggle seems so hard. I just can't do this. Go back to Him. Go remain in Him. I want to encourage you, if you're going through a hard time, the incredible privilege of a church is to be able to pray for one another, to be able to journey alongside one another. I want to encourage you to be open with your home cell. Tell them really what's going on. With a close friend in the church, with the pastors and the elders, we would love just to pray with you and journey with you through what you're going through. Because our joy is found in the hope of who God is. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You for who You are. And Lord, we just want to continually worship You, lift You up. Thank You that You know, that You're not looking at a distance and saying, I'm sorry for what you're going through, I'm doing something else. But You know. And You're able to use whatever suffering we're going through for Your glory. Even when we can't understand that. So we cling to You, Lord. I pray that each person here that particularly is going through a rough time, that they may be aware of Your presence. They may be aware of Your great love that has been poured into their hearts. That they may hold unto You. So we pray this in Your name. Amen.